Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode number 48 from December the 26th of 1992. It is a day after Christmas. Yes, we know you're listening to this sometime in July or August, but it's the day after Christmas in the Great Smoky Mountains. We are still in Clairfield School in Clairfield, Tennessee. Now, Harper, welcome back. You hadn't been with us the last couple of weeks for Smoky Mountain because you were banging a couple of broads the last time we recorded a couple of episodes. So thanks for joining us, and thanks for coming back to the show. This was your first view of this venue. What did you think of Clairfield School in Clairfield, Tennessee, man?
That place sucks.
Doc, you don't happen to have the, you don't happen to have the demographics still open for Harper to hear, do you? Or I'm pretty sure you don't.
Oh, I sure you... do.
Oh, no, shit. I okay. Sure yeah, you we can't... went through the. You know how we do it, Harper. We went through the demographics last week on it.
You throw that weak ass curve that hangs over the plate. You know I'm going to knock it out.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Clairfield, Tennessee, is in northern Tennessee. We have a population of 1,002, 98.8% white.
Yes.
So that means we have just a few people that aren't white.
98.8, you said?
Yeah.
And there's 1,000 people there?
Right.
So we got less than 20. We got less than 20 people of either African American or any other.
That's crazy, huh?
14 people.
Jesus.
A black guy must be like Bigfoot there.
Jesus. Harper,
I bet you. Here's, no.
So politically incorrect what you just said.
I bet you a black guy is like a black guy there and gets treated.
Come on, y'all.
Now.
That's a lot of white people, though, man.
Harper. Now, you can go stretch your money in Clairfield. You don't have to work very hard either.
No.
I mean, your median income is $16,477 a year.
Oh,
Doc,
wow.
You would be like a millionaire up there.
We all would.
Well, that's how it is now?
I would.
Yeah, yeah.
God.
$16,000 a year. Whoa.
Well, and Paul Orndorff said way back when, few months ago, he makes that in an hour or some shit. The average, this is the one that gets me, man. The median home price is $23,400.
What the fuck?
Can you imagine what that shack looks like?
Yeah,
I was about to say.
That's like a car.
Yeah, I think everybody should stop and like go on Zillow or Realtor.com or whatever you can just poke around Clairfield, Tennessee. And we have almost 40%, 39.7% that are below the poverty line.
Damn.
So this is a poor, poor, rural piece of shit town.
Okay.
First, let me say Merry Christmas, fuckers. And second, I decided this place was so depressing that I would go last night to I wanted to recreate what living there must be like so that I could really get into this today. So I drank about 15 beers last night, and I'm all hungover and just feeling like shit and didn't get sleep so that I could feel as sorry and just shitty as these people's life must be.
You should have beat your wife.
Don't rule that out.
Oh, shit. He's playing heel, but Doc is actually very salty today. He didn't even want to talk about it with me before the show, so he's pissed off with some things in life right now. Leave it at that.
But okay, I fight through it for the show, though. Not for the people, for the show.
Let's get into this episode. You all just have no clue about the shenanigans that we just discussed pre-show when we were discussing the hard times of being a pizza delivery driver, which Doc and Harper have a little bit of experience with, and they were discussing that. So maybe there's a patron episode in the future coming on pizza delivery.
Hey, Harper, imagine the tips in Clairfield, Tennessee.
Jesus Christ. Well, it's all white people, so they probably tipped well.
Oh, no. Yeah, Mike, you're black. Why do black people not tip?
Why do black people what?
Not tip.
I think you and Harper are just promoting stereotypes right now.
No, no,
That's not a stereotype.
I'm more sure of this than I am my name.
Okay. I'm not. I think that's a stereotype.
Oh, God.
Me and my family tip well when we go places.
Well, you're not black.
Okay. Well, like I said, me and my family tip well when we go places. Let's move on.
Yeah, whatever.
We get into the episode. Dutch and Bob Cottle are opening things up as usual. Dutch doesn't have any signs, but he is modeling his Las Vegas Golden Nugget jacket. There is no down and dirty today, but Bob Cottle tells us that there will be a special interview with Tim Horner. Let's see what this clown will have to say later on in his interview. And, you know, literally use the term special interview. Well, Horner is special, so I guess technically it is a special interview. Doc, you got any thoughts on the opening before Bob Cottle goes into the recap of what happened last week, which I'll get to in a second?
No, let's get to that. That's good stuff.
Harper, you?
Let's go.
All right. So we, Bob Cottle throws us to a short recap of last week when the fight or match broke out with the Rock and Roll Express and the Heavenly Bodies. Now, if you remember, Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies started putting the boots to the Rock and Roll, but then the Rock and Roll got their hands on the Heavenly Bodies when the Heavenly Bodies were out gloating during a promo. So what I'm going to play here is I'm going to play the second part of the promo where Cornette and them are out there gloating. So here it is.
Now, Dutch, you'll remember that right after that incident that we just saw, Jim Cornette and his men, they came back out here to gloat. So right now, let's take a look at what happened next between these two teams. All right, fans, Jim Cornette, Killer Kyle, the Heavenly Bodies, you wouldn't wait for Christmas Chaos.
You know, I've heard of athletes having a problem with Coke in the past. I didn't know whether it was diet or caffeine-free or what, but now we see that Ricky Morton's got rocks in his head. Robert Gibson, I told you, I was in the best shape of my life. I just beat up both of them myself. I'm so tough, I can't stand it. I'm afraid I'm going to take somebody with my bare hands, and I'm going to kill them. If they come out here again, I'll probably just have to rip their teeth out and take their spleen and their kidneys and their liver and just separate all their bowels from them. That's a bowel.
You know what? I said it a minute ago, I'm going to say it again. Jimmy, we are so proud of you. And just 1 month time, we took him. He can only do 150 push-ups. Now he's doing 2,000 push-ups. A month ago, he was only slapping kids around and fat ladies, and now he's beating them.
And wait a minute, here they come. The Rock and Roll Express and Dutch, it all broke out right here before us.
All right, so I played that kind of just as a recap of where we were when we went off last week, and then the fight breaks out between the two or the match. Doc, Harper, I'll throw it to you first. Any thoughts on that promo before the match breaks out?
He was only slapping around kids and fat broads.
Oh, God bless Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
That's hilarious.
Doc, you got anything?
I'm so tough I can't stand it. I like that line.
I just like Smoky Mountain in general. But, yes, yeah. To your point. All right, so here's the thing. The match breaks out, and basically everything show...
Didn't we talk about that last week, that it's kind of silly that you could just attack somebody and get a match?
I mean, it is, but that happened a lot in territory wrestling, though. I mean, that's not something I gripe about a whole lot, because I don't know. That shit seemed to happen all the time in Mid-South. Well...
Okay.
Yes and no. Watts had this crazy rule in Mid-South, at least early on in the 80s, where if, like, I remember one time, like, Ted DiBiase was at the announce desk with Boyd Pierce, and if you interfered in a match, you got fined $2,500, but I think if somebody came over and attacked you, you were good to go. But I can remember. I mean, there's times in territory wrestling where matches just broke out of nowhere, so whatever. It is what it is. I mean, and they've done this before in Smoky Mountain. So what happens is they lead to the match starts off, and we're a good 6 or 7 minutes into the show before anything new happens. Like, basically the fight breaking out, the first couple minutes is the old stuff. So I'm going to fast forward a few minutes into the match. Cornette and Killer Kyle try to get involved, but they both get hit while on the ring apron. Cornette then is on the ground. Golden and Fuller come out. Fuller grabs Cornette's racket from Corny and throws it in the ring to Pritchard. Pritchard grabs it, but as he bends over to get it, Gibson jumps over the top of Tom. Sunset flips him, and I'm sorry. Yeah, Gibson jumps over the top of Tom Pritchard and Sunset flips Pritchard. Gibson gets the 1-2-3 on Pritchard. Cornette, after the match, is pointing towards Fuller and Golden and seems to be questioning the intentions of the stud stable. Bob Cottle then seems to tease that the stud stable may have purposely helped the Rock and Roll. Doc, you got any thoughts from the match?
So we made fun of these people at the top, but and the crowd is pretty small and probably illiterate. But they're pretty loud. But they're pretty loud, aren't they? They're hot.
Why do you have to call them illiterate?
Because they probably are.
Oh, right. Okay.
They're hot. They're loud. I actually got a note coming up in a minute where I'm gonna speak about that. They are loud for a small crowd. Mm-hmm. They are loud.
Yeah.
And into it. I mean, there's kids. There's a lot of kids there too, so that kind of helps the noise. Because I mean, Doc, you know, as a parent, fucking kids make just noise for no fucking reason under the sun. It's like, shut the hell up, you little bastards.
Rods and kids.
Bruh, Jesus Christ, man. As a man, I just want some peace and quiet. And they don't get that. Like, my wife asks me all the time, if you don't want this home renovation stuff, what makes you happy? I just want peace and quiet. It makes me real happy. Peace, quiet, and old wrestling.
Feed me, fuck me, shut the fuck up. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's boring.
Yeah, boring. You can take your bonus ticket. All right. So, obviously,
you got the studs jumping in and screwing things up, muddying the waters, and sowing the seeds of discontent here. So, that's awesome.
Yeah, it throws some questions into the equation. You're not sure what they were doing. Were they helping the Rock and Roll? It's a triangle you got there with the three teams. So, yeah. Harper, what do you got? Anything?
You see a face turn coming?
I mean, I know what happens, so I don't want to say anything.
You're an asshole. Okay.
So,
but here's
no
the thing.
Spoiler, brother.
But the Fantastics are gone.
Yeah, that's true, huh?
I think it's safe to say right now they're gone, yes.
So we had... You know, they were all four teams, and they were pairing off with each other for a while. So now you got three top teams. This angle, when you think about it like that, then this angle starts to make a lot more sense.
Yes. But I'm not answering the question on any type of heel turn, face turn type thing at this point. I'll just say that. No spoilers, Harper.
Okay. Spoil it.
Have you watched ahead any more than this, Harper?
No.
Okay. Okay. See, I have, and that's, I'm trying to stay quiet.
Well, that's what happens, huh?
Well, there's some, I'm not going to say that, but there's some surprises coming just based on this whole thing. They will leave it at that. There's a couple of big surprises, actually, based on what you're seeing right now with these three teams.
There sure as shit is.
Yeah, I'm not overstating it either. There's some big surprises based on these three teams.
I didn't think about it until you just said it, because it's been a while since I've gone through this. But we're about 7 to 10 episodes from some shit breaking out. You know, we ain't going to get it next week. This is Smoky Mountain. We got to wait for it.
Right. There's some really, really good stuff that happens out of this. So, all right. We go to then a local promo. I got it queued up, but did y'all want to hear it? This is Dirty White Boy. Or should we play it at the end?
It's a good interview.
Yeah.
All right. Here it is.
You'll see Tracy's mother's in action. Many, many other outstanding Smoky Mountain wrestling stars in a grudge match. Kevin Sullivan against Brian Lee for the Smoky Mountain title. Tim Horner, White Lightning himself, will take on the Dirty White Boy. And here's the White Boy.
Tim Horner.
Yes, sir. Tough, tough competitor. Outstanding.
Just shut up. This is my time, all right? Now, Tim Horner, everybody knows you're the biggest thief walking the face of the earth. But no, what do? You call up Mr. Armstrong. I ain't been able to beat him in the last 2 or 3 months. Could I please just have one more shot? Well, you got one more shot, punk. So when you walk that aisle, I want you to lace those boots up real good and tight. Because right there, where we at? Barberville?
Yes, sir.
Barberville. Oh, boy. Big metropolis. Well, right there, Horner, is where I'm going to leave your stinking brains scattered out all over that arena. And when I walk out, I will still be the undisputed, the undoubtable heavyweight champion of Smoky Mountain.
All right, fans, as we say, we got a great, great card in a Smoky Mountain Tag Title match, the Rock and Roll against the Heavenly Bodies. And if the Rock and Roll win, they get 5 minutes alone with this man right here.
Oh, and I know that all the people in Eastern Kentucky, they'd love to see the Rock and Roll 2-on-1 on top of me more than they like to get the mail and see all those food stamps come in. Well, let me tell you something. Everybody saw the last time there in Barberville, I pinned Robert Gibson right in the middle of the ring in that six-man tag. And the Heavenly Bodies were beating their stinking brains out all over the building. So now this time, it's going to be a little bit different. I'm not going to be in the ring for the match. The title's on the line, and Rock and Roll, we're coming to get our belts. And then after Stan Lane and Tom Pritchard beat you, then you're going to be broke, busted, and disgusted. You are not going to get 5 minutes in the ring with me. I can promise you that right there in Barberville on January the 9th, brother. The only thing you're going to get is a beating of your stinking life.
I like when Dirty White Boy does that Horner mocking. I don't even call it imitation. He's just mocking him. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Harper, what did you have?
I can pretend like he's calling. He's like using a fucking a rotary phone.
Well, I mean, this is 1992 in Tennessee. Not that.
Yeah.
But in Clearfield, Tennessee, they probably still have rotary phones. So, yeah. But anyway, I do agree. I just love when he mocks him. Doc, you got anything?
He's just sour about stuff and going to this stupid town and having to fight stupid Horner and telling people to shut up and just good classic solid heel promo.
I do agree. I enjoyed it. So, again, it's a local promo, so it's not really tying into this exact episode, but, you know, there it is. Next matchup is Daniel Little Bear and Reno Riggins versus the Stud Stable. Now, Cornette joins commentary during the match, and Cornette basically insults the Stud Stable on commentary, saying they need to stay out of the Heavenly Bodies' business. There's not much more in this match other than Fuller and Golden just dominating these two. Doc, what were your thoughts on it before I go to the Stud Stable promo?
I thought Corny was good on color, and I mean, I don't know that there was any lines that I specifically picked out, but I thought he did a great job of continuing to sow the dissension between the teams. The other thing I thought he did really well, the one thing I thought he did really well, was when he sat with Caudle at the beginning, he put the Stud Stable over big time for just how big they are and just big old boys and ass whoopers, and I thought that was good.
Which they are. Right. Harper, anything from you from the match?
I just want to see what happens. I got to see what happens, man.
Harper, we got a little ways to go, bro. It's kind of like...
see what happens.
He's going to binge watch later today. We got a little ways to go. Remember the master, Kevin Sullivan? How long that took to play out?
Jesus Christ.
But I tell you what doesn't take long. What doesn't take long is if you pause this show right now and go give us a 5-star review on iTunes, because we could use all the 5-star reviews we can get. So if you love the show, pause it right now and go give us a 5-star review. That doesn't take as long as this angle will to play out, as fabulous as this angle is. So please do that. Again, pause it, 5-star review, write some nice comments, come back. And we would appreciate that. Also, I forgot to do it at the top of the show. Thank you, Joe Stassi. Thank you, Old School Pro Wrestling Lives, ICW, the Outlaws of Pro Wrestling. Appreciate everything that you do for the show on your Facebook communities. Okay, we get back into it now. We got the Stud Stable, and they're going to cut a promo here. So here it is.
All right, right now, fans, here they are. Here's Jimmy Golden, Robert Fuller, the Stud Stable.
Hey, I've seen Jim Cornette sitting over here talking to you.
What's he having to say about us? Cornette just said that he didn't remember asking for any help.
That's gratitude for you, would you know it? You take a look at them out there, brother. They wasn't getting the job done at all. We merely come out there to try to help the situation a little bit, and that's the gratitude that you get from Jim Cornette.
What about our title match?
That's the last you're going to see us try to do anything for Jim Cornette. It's something maybe that he don't like we'll be doing next time. Yeah. I want to say this, though. Rock and Roll Express, title holders, champions, go That's what we want is belts, and that's who we're going to be coming after. Boys, it's not going to be just beat you. It's no easy way out. You're going to give up. Everybody is going to know clearly who the winners are because you slobs are going to quit for us.
All right, fans, there you have it, the stud stable. We'll be back. We'll have more right after we take this time.
I'll throw it to you first, Doc.
Well, now it seems like shots fired.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 There's no ifs, ands, or buts at this point.
We tried to help you, boys, because you weren't getting the job done. See if we do that again.
Right, right, right. Harper, what about from you?
Yeah, this is it. Their friendship is now destroyed, and now you're like the rest of them.
Well, I like, too, is I thought Jimmy Golden was really good here. And it's usually Fuller who's you know, great. Not that Golden's bad. But Jimmy was like, you know, he admitted to basically cheating for him, you know, trying to help them cheat.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know what? We'll never do it again based on the gratitude that we got from Cornette on trying to help. I like that part of it because it still make you know, they're still heels at that point because of that statement. But yeah, the friendship is over. We ain't cool no more, bro. It's basically what they just said. I liked it. I thought it was good. From the Stud Stable promo, we go to the Beat the Champ TV title update. We talked about this last week, Doc. I don't really have anything from it. I know Harper. I'm guessing, you know, you weren't with us the last 2 weeks. So, did you? I don't know. Well, see, you haven't watched ahead to see how it plays out. But
no,
I will say this. Doc and I talked about it. I actually like the idea, and we'll see it in the coming weeks. Harper, did you have any thoughts? I mean, this was your first time seeing it.
No, I just so whoever wins this was for the gets their TV title.
Yeah,
basically, it's called Beat the Champ because it's a title, but it's a title without a belt. But I like the way they do it because. Basically, to start it off, you got four people compete for it, person wins, and then for four straight weeks, they compete against various people. Like a name gets picked out of a hat, and they will, you know, the champ, whoever that champ first champ is, he will then defend. If at any time he loses, then the next person gets a TV title. But if you defend it four straight weeks, you, I guess, quote-unquote, retire as the champ. You win the $5,000,
however
much it is. And then they redo four guys who have a four-way dance for the next title. It's let me say this. For anyone who hasn't watched ahead, when you watch ahead, I think it makes for compelling TV matches most of the time because there's always something at stake, it feels. And as far ahead as I've watched, it doesn't seem to get old to me. And that's that. So there's a lot more coming, trust me, in the next few months related to that. We go from that to the next match. It's the Dark Secret versus Tracy Smothers. Now, I want to say something. We talked earlier about how loud these people were. So I did some research on this TV taping. There is reportedly 175 people in this very little school gym.
Damn.
And when Smothers' music hits, these people are loud and loving them some Confederate flag Tracy Smothers. did you catch that, Doc? The eruption?
My exact notes were Tracy is shaking all 75 people's hands here. letting a kid wave the Confederate flag, isn't that wrong? Okay. And then when the match starts, I've got some Dutchisms.
Okay, cool. Let me keep going. And Harper, do you have anything about the eruption of the fans?
Yeah. It was like he was running for office.
Oh yeah, he was.
When he comes out shaking hands, and he yelled that big old fat broad wave the flag and
surprised she didn't try to eat it.
That's you think Tracy would have banged that?
If he wanted
to. Yeah, yeah.
I said would have. I didn't say did.
Oh.
There's a difference. Yeah, okay.
Probably.
Something else I didn't know if we talked about in the last couple weeks, but they actually recorded these episodes at Clearfield School on November the 23rd of 92. So they recorded these before freaking Thanksgiving Thunder. like, try doing that today. You talk about a different day and time. Mm-hmm. Just that kind of just you know, amazed me. But all right, back to the match. This is a quick match. Dark Secret gets a little bit of offense, though not much. Dark Secret eventually misses a move off the top. When he misses, Smothers goes to the top rope and hits his finisher for the win. Doc, you said you got some Dutchisms here.
Well, Dutch started talking about how deep into the Smoky Mountains they were, and then Caudle starts talking about all of Tracy's background, his accomplishments, and Dutch just started shitting all over it. So if you just a couple of notes there, and then I thought the match was a solid match because you've got future Road Dogg in there. That's who Dark Secret is, by the way, Harper.
Okay,
it's Road Dogg. So, and you can see he's got more charisma than a guy in that getup usually. So he took the ass whooping there.
Yeah, I agree. Harper, you had anything from the match?
Yeah. I love how he buried his elementary school accomplishments.
You talking about Dutch?
Yeah.
Oh, I say this all the time. I am going to miss Dutch when Dutch is gone.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss Dutch when Dutch is gone. So, we got a while for that, but yes. Okay. All right. So now we go from that to a Tracy Smothers promo. So here is Smothers after the match cutting a promo. Here it is.
Let's go right now. Bob Caudle standing by with an interview with a southern-eyed white boy.
All right, Dutch, here we are with Tracy Smothers, the wild-eyed southern boy. Tracy, I tell you, you just keep piling up the wins here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. The fans love it. And I talking over there with Dutch, I know you got championships in your eyes.
Man, I tell you, Bob, I'm climbing that ladder. Yes, I'm going to climb the great Smoky Mountain itself if I have to, because I'm a southern-born, southern-bred thoroughbred. I want to get in that winner-take-all TV title tournament. I want to prove to myself and to every man, woman, and child in Clairfield, Tennessee, and the millions of people that watch the fastest rising wrestling company in the United States of America, Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Tracy Smothers is here to stay. I'm not here to play. I ain't playing no games or talking no jive. I'm American by birth, and I'm Southern by the grace of God, and darn proud of it. Thank you, Mr. Carter.
All right, fans, we'll be back right after this timeout.
Tracy thanking Bob Caudle after the interview. Doc, go ahead. I'll let you go first.
He just ticks off all the check marks you need to that white meat baby face in the South. Yeah. I mean, it's just all there. My note is, if he's going after the beat the champ, he's got to be a favorite, right?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so. Harper, did you have anything else from the promo?
I tell you, those little redneck little promos don't get old for him.
But
they eat that shit up.
They lap it up.
Yeah, like the Southern hero thing, man.
They lap it up, man. It's awesome. Tracy had me rolling. Oh boy. Yeah, I said the same thing as you, Doc. I can't see much more other than Smothers is over and Tim Horner. I hope your resume is up to date for when Cornette gives you them walking papers, aka your release, because I just thought it was good. The only other note I had was at the beginning when Dutch throws it to the interview. He goes, "Let's throw it over to the southern-eyed white boy." Did you catch that? Yeah, he got a little tongue-tied, but, you know, neither here nor there. I just thought that was a good comedy bit. Okay, we go from that to Bullet Bob Armstrong, and it's followed by Tim Horner. Can we not make fun of the kid when I play this?
I don't know.
Let's leave the kid out of this.
He didn't leave the kid out, so fuck it.
Right. Well, my exact note before all of this starts is fuck this.
Okay, me too. Seriously, just leave the kid alone. Okay, so let me play the first part, which is Bullet Bob. It's about 30 seconds long. Here it is.
Fans with us right now, Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Commissioner, I just want to ask you, has there been any progress in return of the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Championship belt from Tim Horner?
No, I've asked Tim about it. I've looked in the dressing room myself, and Tim says he doesn't know where the belt is. So what am I going to do, Bob? I'm doing the best I can. I know Tim's got a legitimate gripe about this, but he's not the champion. The foot was on the rope, no matter who put it there. And I think we have some words now from Tim Horner. Let's see what he has to say about it.
All right, here we go, fans. Listen.
Okay, I purposely stopped it before Horner's part. I'm about to get really pissed, too. This is some bullshit. Horner is a thief. Give the goddamn belt back right now, bitch. I'm getting hot. Doc, any thoughts before I go to Horner with the kid?
No.
Okay. Harper?
No, go.
Okay.
I want him cry.
Leave the kid alone. Leave the kid out of this, please.
No,
he'll play it. I know what you mean. Let's here we go. I'm gonna play it.
I wanted to take this time and bring my little buddy out here. This is JT. Me and JT, we become pretty good buddies the last few months, ain't we, buddy?
Yeah.
That's right. You know, JT and I, we found out we had a few things in common. We both had a few problems these past few months and some troubles and some hard times. And, you know, my trouble started with a dirty white boy. You know, I ended up with a noose around my neck and a beer bottle over my head, and just the matches themselves really took a toll on my body. You know, I've been beat and bruised, and, you know, I thought, gosh, you know, I've got a lot on me. Then I looked at my buddy here. The problems he's had. You know, he had to go to Kentucky and have some serious surgery done. And he came through the surgery real good, but he got some complications after the surgery. And we almost lost my little buddy. But he's here, and he's doing good. The doctors say he's doing great. And thanks to the good doctors and friends and prayers and family, he's still here. And me and him, we may even be tag team partners one day. Who knows? But me and a little buddy here, we had a little secret nobody knew about. He told me, he said, I want you to win that belt for me. And I said, I can't make any promises, but I'll do the best I can. Well, a few weeks ago, I became the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion. It was a proud day in my career, and it made this little fella's dream come true. And you know, it's nice. I found out something through all this that, you know, it's nice to win awards, and it's nice to win trophies, and it's nice to even win a belt. But there's a lot more things important to life than winning awards. You know, it's nice. Don't get me wrong. It's nice to be noticed and nice to win awards. But this little fella right here means more to me than any belt I could ever win. And I don't care what I have to go through. I decided that I was going to make this little fella's dream come true. And now the commissioner's office of Smoky Mountain Wrestling says we got to give this belt back. And whether we give it back or whether we don't, at this point it just doesn't matter. Because in my heart I know I'm the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion. I am the champ. And in the fans, they know I'm the champ. And JT here, who's the champ, JT?
I am.
He's the champ, and I'm the champ, and that's all that matters.
Man, I ain't trying to make fun of this kid. I'm gonna stay clear of this poor child, because, you know. Man, fuck Tim Horner. I can't. You stole the belt. Give the damn belt back. You ain't the champ. It's a shame that he had to leverage, I'm not going to say use, leverage a poor child in this condition to come across
real,
as a
huh?
baby face. Like that, he had to use a sickly child to try to come across as a sympathetic face. Man, fuck you.
Who is this kid? like how did he do?
I don't know. I'm sure Cornette could tell us, but I mean, he was legit.
Yeah, sick, yeah, that kid had problems.
Yeah, right. He was. That's why I'm like, I'm not. This isn't about him. I'm glad he got a little TV time. I mean, he was fighting for his life. I just think it's bad. It's bad when your babyface has to use this to try to get sympathy, and he's a thief. So, Horner probably will hear this and go, "Well, Jimmy called the angle."
Yeah.
Oh Jesus! I don't know. I don't have anything else to say other than. Look, I've heard people say that this was a hell of a babyface promo from Tim Horner. I guess in a way, but this still doesn't. It's still, you still can't get past the fact that he had to use a sickly child to get over.
Well, he's used everybody else and not gotten over.
Yeah, I guess you're right there. Harper, go ahead. Do you got anything?
I love it when he's like, hey, who's the champ? And he's expecting him to say, you are. He says, I'm the champ.
Kid took one look at Horner and was like, there's no way this guy's the champ. I'm the champ.
Kid even was like, I got sick, the strap, brother. It's sitting around my waist.
Even sick, dying children know they're better off than Tim Horner. Shit.
Wow.
When he started to break up and cry. Oh.
Yeah, I lost it. I was like, dude, don't do this. Any other thoughts,
kid,
Doc?
Well, and this isn't about the kid.
Not at all.
But that kid looked like Horner's left hand was playing with his little booty.
Oh, okay. I'm not going there.
Look at that kid throughout the whole thing, man. That kid looks nervous and sick and just problematic.
Well, he was
sick,
man. He was fighting for his life.
I know. If that's supposed to be uplifting, they missed.
They missed because it's Tim Horner.
Right.
He's the denominator in it. You can put Brian Lee in that seat. You can put Dixie Dynamite in that seat. Actually, you want to get that shit over? Dixie Dynamite should have been given that speech right there. You'd have bought it that much more.
Well, and the other thing, I like how the head of marketing and merchandising has his lightning bolt on the side of the couch, but it's turned to where you can't see what it is. Way to go.
That's how you sell gimmicks. I bet
right.
You
he's
the...
I spent a good 20 seconds looking at it going, what is that? Oh, yeah. Okay, I got it. And then, bolts. Just to top it all off, he committed a cardinal sin, and he had to have... This is where I think Corny may be wrong. He had to have some points in the company because he committed a fireable offense. Do you know what it was?
No, go ahead and tell me.
Towards the end, he said that it's not important who the champ is. Because he's fighting for his life. It's not important who the champ... What?
Well...
What?
I mean, that was he was saying that for the kid because of the severity of the kid. I'm just saying that was because of the severity of the kid, not so much as. I mean, I wouldn't. I don't put that on Corny. I mean, that's just Horner just being, you know, that part. That's the least of my worry about that whole scene right there.
I just don't want to see the hero crying.
There's a problem with what you just said, because since when is he the hero?
Yeah, but that's what he's supposed to be there. You know, it's like, come on, bro.
You could have put any other baby face on the roster in that seat next to that kid, and we would be having a totally different discussion right here.
Put Bobby Blaze in there. Bobby would be like, listen, kid, I'll make you feel better. Let's go get some whores and beers.
Stop it.
I like you, Bobby.
It's you know what'll make your
too? Yeah.
You know what'll make your terminal illness better? Some titties in your face.
Oh, come on. Titties.
Well, hold on. You
titties
think
in your face.
You think that kid's still alive?
That's what I was wondering. Like, what happened?
I don't know, man.
This kid?
I don't even know what he had. I forgot. I think they said it.
I don't think they said it.
We're talking.
Let's go ahead and fast forward to the Tim Horner Award, because it is Tim Horner this week.
Yeah, I totally agree. Hey, if you do know anyone listening in the Smoky Mountains knows what happened to this young man, and you know if he made it out of it okay, we'd love to hear that. Send me a message on our Twitter @BTT_podcast or on our Facebook page facebook.com/bookingthe territory. Tweet me or Facebook message me there, and you know I'm kind of curious, man. I mean, I hope he's still alive, but who knows? I mean, there's no way of knowing at this point. I mean, I know he was seriously ill. So again, facebook.com/bookingthe territory or on our Twitter @BTT_podcast. Like us and follow us as well while you're there. Okay, we go to the next match. It is the Dirty White Boy versus Paul Lee. This match was a beatdown of Paul Lee. Dirty White Boy gets the win with his finisher. But I have a very quick soundbite that I must play from the match from Dutch Mantel. Here it is.
in there. Yeah, it looks like that guy still got his dander up, Dutch.
Well, he's got a point to prove, seeing as how Tim Horner's stole his belt.
Well, you know, Dutch, we see that the belt is safe. Tim Horner tries to keep his promises to his friends, you know.
You know what I think? I don't think Horner has the belt. You know what I think Horner's done with that belt?
What?
I think he's went to a pawn shop, and he's hawked that belt for money to spend on whiskey and loose women. That's what I think he's done to it.
Dutch, he's not that kind of person.
Let me say, you got Tim Horner and Ronnie Garvin both teamed up, both known thieves in their own right. Garvin stealing a Paul Orndorff's robe, and now Horner stealing Dirty White Boy's belt.
All right, and Paul Orndorff is...
Dutch, Bob Cottle no sells it and just keeps talking, but is Dutch wrong?
I had this all written down, too. I did, because Dutch says, I don't think he has it. Dutch, we just saw him with it in the previous segment, buddy.
Well, that's a perfect heel, though, too.
Yeah, and then right. That's what I mean. I'm not poking holes in it. It was funny, and then the term "loose women" is just funny. And I was thinking, if Horner did spend his money on whiskey and loose women, maybe I would like him better than
Really, huh?
Chocolate milk and Zubaz bullshit.
Offer you anything?
And they're still bringing up Ronnie Garvin and Mr. Wonderful's robe. I was like, I forgot about that.
Don't forget about it.
Yeah, don't forget about it. I mean, that's actually a big part of Christmas chaos. The whole
Thanksgiving
match.
Thanksgiving Thunder didn't settle shit.
No,
Thanksgiving Thunder didn't settle shit, and like Christmas chaos settles some things, but things still kind of are playing out. I mean, whatever. But you know, I mean, Dutch really isn't lying. He called them thieves, and I mean, they are thieves. They did steal the robe and they did steal the belt. It is what it is.
Yeah.
He's not lying. So it's the truth. Paul Orndorff was on commentary. He talked a little bit of crap too, but I don't know. Doc, you got anything else from it?
No. I mean, Dirty White Boy was hot. He came in the ring hot. He came in the ring like a road warrior, dude.
He did. He beat the piss out
like
of Paulie.
I was like, he hit the ring like it was on and was impressive. And oh, one thing I did have on this. Dirty White Boy hit a nice just standing drop kick in this match. I thought that I popped for that big time.
His entire look will fool you if you have never seen him. If you just saw like an 8x10 of him, it would fool you into thinking, who's this guy? Like you didn't know who he was. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because of like his receding hairline. Just...
The hair does. I can't imagine that the hair did him any favors with Vince.
Oh, hell no.
No,
not at all. I mean, Vince looked at him and T.L. Hopper. There you go. That's why that was what it was.
Yes.
Yeah. When in actuality, I mean, he's a damn good wrestler. Good heel. So, yeah. Harper, you got anything else before I move to the next segment? We got some gold coming up. Okay. We go to Dirty White Boy, Ron Wright, and Paul Orndorff. And, bruh, here it is.
With the Dirty White Boy.
All right,
Paul,
fans, we're
going
to get the Dirty White Boy and Mr. Ron Wright, his manager, out here. The White Boy, who, of course, is still the Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion, minus that championship belt that Tim Horner still has somewhere. But why would you guys want to take it out and it put all of that abuse on a young man like that in the ring, like you just did?
He's got no business being in the ring with the Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion. I have been robbed. There is a thief. I said there is a thief. He's Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and he goes by the name of White Lightning Tim Horner. If you was any kind of a man, if you had any guts whatsoever, you would come out here right now with my belt, and you'd say, Mr. White Boy, please don't kill me. I'm sorry. Here your belt is. But you won't do it because you're gutless. I want my belt.
I tell you, they've got me so tore up over all of this.
My heart's acting up again. I'm even down with the gout. I can't
look
even.
Oh,
easy, 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 easy. My leg won't bend.
It's swollen.
I don't know what I'm going to do. They've got me in so much pain over wearing this. I'm wearing myself sick over these matches coming up. Oh,
gee. Well, something. Horner and Garvin are two of a kind. You don't see Ronnie Garvin here, do you? You don't see him around here. Well, Horner's the same way. He's a coward. And if he was any kind of a man, he'd bring the belt back and do the honorary thing that he should do. Myself and the Dirty White Boy is going to take care of business come Christmas, brother. We're going to put so much pain and agony in their life that they wish that they never stepped into that ring.
All right, fans, that's the story right here from the Dirty White
Boy. That robe cost me $15,000.
Oh, Ron Wright. Doc, you first.
There's a lot there, but I just singularly focused on the gout. We have a new we have a new one to add to the, I mean, the heart pills, the cataracts, the wheelchair, the hip. Now we've got the gout. And there's something,
oh, man.
The gout, when he said D, it just, the way he said it just got me. It's awesome.
Harper, go ahead. I'll let you go first before I say what I got to say.
Yeah. I remember hearing on Jim Cornette's podcast with they were buddies, Tim Horner and Tony Anthony.
Yeah.
And when you watch this promo, man, you know none of that. It's just it's he's fucking pissed.
Yeah.
And it's and what's he saying? That's not true. Just like what Arn Anderson was saying a world
Saturday
championship
night.
Wrestling. Right. Yeah. It's what he's saying is true. He stole his goddamn belt and gave it to a fucking kid. Fuck you, bro.
I love it. Oh, God. Oh, man. Ron Wright. Go ahead.
I thought, okay, so first of all, we know and agree that all three of these guys are good promos.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yes.
I had this, like, I miss Dirty White Boy. Going back and listening to it, and what Harper says, right, it's a great promo he cuts at the beginning, but I forgot all about it. Because once Ron started talking, he sucked all of my attention to him. And to be honest, I didn't listen to Orndorff either, because I was still laughing at what Ron Wright did. Uh-huh. He managed to overshadow two really, really, really good talkers out there for me.
I said the same thing. Like, my exact notes were, Ron Wright's gout in his leg is acting up. And then he's patting his head with his handkerchief that he pulls out of his fucking pocket. Like, he's just, you know, his head's breaking out in a little sweat, so he's gotta pat it dry. And then he's with the gout. And then Dirty White Boy tries to lift his leg to, like, you know, console him. And he's, oh, brother, don't do that. Because it's hurting him as he touches it. I thought it was solid. I mean, Dirty White Boy is pissed. Ron is upset with the gout. Orndorff is ready to kick some ass at Christmas Chaos. But I'm like you, Doc. The damn gout line. Because he keeps saying things that are just it's so insane. That it just, you just lose it. It just, he comes up with stuff that's just his cataracts. I mean, he got glass in his eye when the bottle was shattered on, you know, Horner's head. He just comes, he keeps coming up with new stuff. And here we are. This started in February. We're at the end of December of 92, and he's still coming up with new shit weekly. That you just go, what the fuck did he just say this time? And that's what I thought is so great about it. New stuff every day. He's been on TV almost weekly for 11 months, and you're just not tired of seeing him. That's a star to me. Oh, boy. All right, anything else before we go to the match?
Good stuff.
Yeah. Dixie Dynamite versus Kevin Sullivan is next. And, you know, you talk, Doc, you said a second ago about how Dirty White Boy came in like what's his name? Like the Road Warriors?
Well, so did Kevin Sullivan.
Jesus Lord. Sullivan attacks Dixie from the start. He just goes right at him. I need to point something out, too, because I don't know if we really realize this. Dixie's not a champion in this Fed or anything, but for the most part, when he's on TV matches, he gets a lot of wins. I say that to say...
Would you say that he's upper mid-card?
Yeah.
I would say that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, here, okay, if you don't, if for people out there who wouldn't agree with us, I'd say this. Maybe it's just my memory, but I swear every time I see him, he's out there hitting a Confederate kick on someone and getting a win.
Yeah.
So I say all that because he's got a lot of wins. To me, he's established, but in this match, Sullivan is just, you know, this evil-minded, you know, I hate to say it, but devil, even though he never says it. He has control of things from the start. Dixie actually does hit the Confederate kick, but Sullivan rolls out of the ring. Dixie goes out to get Sullivan, but that's when the Night Stalker, who's on the outside, gets involved. They gang up on Dixie. And then Sullivan starts choking Dixie out with a coat hanger, and they go to commercial, which, you know.
Hold on.
It's just chaos. Go ahead, Doc.
Well, Sullivan's favorite move is just to throw Dixie out of the ring, which is awesome. That's a throwback to things that we saw on Saturday night a lot. Mm-hmm. But again, Dutch had a great line about Sullivan. He said something like, if his private life is like his public life, he lives a dark, shady lifestyle. And I thought that was really good, because Dutch is dirty Dutch. He's a dirty guy, and he's even saying Sullivan is too far. That adds credibility. But did you notice that they stole Dixie, like I said they should have done last week with Jeff Daniels?
They did what to Dixie?
They stole him. They just went in the back. He took him through that door.
Oh, that's what I was gonna say. Like they go, well, I didn't put that in my notes, but yeah, they basically ran off with him, and then they go to commercial and it's over.
That's what I said they should have done with Jeff Daniels last week, and then just 3 weeks later, Jeff Daniels shows back up as a disciple.
Well, Jeff Daniels also got his wig split.
Yeah, saw that. God damn.
Hopper, I'm glad you mentioned it. I don't want to get sidetracked on the last episode, the ones that you missed, but I said that was reckless on Sullivan's part to hit him in the back of the chair.
He gave zero fucks. He was like, yeah, fuck you, bro.
You can't have him be the devil and start giving fucks.
I mean, he just didn't give a shit about that guy.
But that was reckless, you'd agree.
Yeah.
Uncalled for, would you agree?
I mean, bro.
Everything you've ever been taught. Have you ever been taught to hit somebody in the back of the head with a chair?
No.
There you go.
Who the fuck does that? You get a chair for that. Dude,
I didn't go off on a tirade like a Tim Horner one, but my point was that I like Kevin Sullivan a lot, but that was bull. I mean, Jesus, just clocking somebody in the back of the head like that. I don't know if you noticed it, too. They showed a clip of it during this episode.
There was a short
clip right before one of the commercials, right before it broke the commercial. It was they showed it in slow motion. I'm like, shit on that. Just seeing it again, I'm like, okay. Any other thoughts from the match, Harper?
No.
So we go from that to then a local promo with Tracy Smothers, and I gotta play it. Wouldn't you agree, Harper?
Play it.
Yeah. Well, it's not just that. It's Smothers is killing it, but Tim Horner says something I just want to take a dump on, so here it is.
Smoky Mountain Wrestling returns to Barbourville, Kentucky at the Knox Central High School on Saturday, January 9th at 8 p.m. And among the many stars you see will be the wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smothers.
Hey,
Tracy.
Bob, how you doing?
Fine.
Doing all
good
right?
To see you, guy.
So we're in Barbourville, Kentucky,
yes, sir.
January the 9th. You know, I've been there a couple of times already. They got some of the prettiest Southern bells I've ever seen in my life.
Ring right alert.
I'm going to start 1993 outright by being right there in Barbourville. I don't know who I'm wrestling. Don't matter to me if it's King Kong or Godzilla. Don't really care. It's a pleasure to be back in the South. It's a pleasure to come back to Eastern Kentucky. I know my buddy White Lightning Tim Horner's going to be there. I know the Rock and Roll Express, Primetime Brian Lee's back. There's a lot of things happening in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and I want to sink my teeth, and I want to get in the middle of it. I'm looking for title matches. I'm looking for anything I can get a hold of. I'm ready to go, man. I'll see you in Barberville.
All right, FN, we got a great card there in Barberville. You're going to see a grudge match. Kevin Sullivan against Primetime Brian Lee in a Smoky Mountain Tag title match. The Rock and Roll Express against the Heavenly Bodies. And if Rock and Roll win, they get 5 minutes alone with Jim Cornette in a Smoky Mountain title match. It'll be White Lightning, Tim Horner, against the Dirty White Boy. Tim?
You know, last time in Barberville, I was in a six-man tag with the Rock and Roll Express, and we went up against Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. And we had them Heavenly Bodies flying and going all over the place. When out of the back, here comes the Dirty White Boy. Came out, posted me, and DDT'd me right there on the floor. What is it with you, White Boy? Just what is it? Well, everybody knows we ain't been exactly buddies the last few months. Yeah, we've been at each other's throat. I've been at yours. You've been at mine. I've busted you with chairs. You've busted me with bottles. You've hung me. And the list goes on and on. Well, in Barberville, I don't have to worry about looking over my shoulder because I'm going to look at you right in your eyes. I'm going to stand right up to you. And if you want to jump on me, White Boy, you go ahead and jump on. And if you get tired, I'll take over. In Barberville, I'm going to be on you like a wet T-shirt. I'm going to be all over you. And in Barberville, you're going down for the three count.
If you want to jump on me, jump on. And when you get tired, I'll take over.
I'll take the tag.
I don't know what else I can say about Tim Horner. With his freshly fluffed mullet during that promo. That was just looked like a hairdresser did it or some sort. I mean, he was all gussied up right there. Jesus. Doc, you got anything?
Man, fuck this guy.
Harper, you?
Fuck that, bro.
Here's the thing. That promo isn't the worst thing he did in this episode.
And no.
And it's awful. Okay. He's fighting with himself for his own award on being shitty.
That's how I played it. Right. I got a quick 30-second clip from the Lakeview Inn I want to play real quick.
Oh, I've got some words on that, too.
Oh, do you? I do, too. Oh, shit. We didn't talk about this ahead of time. Here we go.
Accommodations for this event were provided by Lakeview Inn, Caryville, Tennessee. Nestled in the beautiful Cumberland Mountains, Lakeview Inn is conveniently located on I-75 at exit 134. Spacious rooms at affordable prices, and only a short drive from the Museum of Appalachia and Gatlinburg. The management and staff invite you to visit as a guest and then return as a friend. The Lakeview Inn, Caryville, Tennessee. For reservations, call area code 615-562-9456.
Doc, I'm going to throw it to you first. I'm curious to see if you got the same note that I have.
Well, my first note was... the Museum of Appalachia.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. What the fuck's in that thing?
I don't know.
Well, hold on a second. Maybe I can help you.
You're gonna Google it.
Now, here's. I hate to stand up for it, but apparently it is known as an affiliate of actually the Smithsonian Institute.
Well, see, there you go. That's why you shouldn't be judgmental.
And it is one of the nation's largest folk art collections and hosts performances of traditional Appalachian music and annual demonstrations by hundreds of regional craftsmen.
There you go. Stop being judgmental.
So it's like a bunch of like Hillbilly Jim shit.
I guess.
Okay, Doc. What else?
But that's not the real winner here. The Lakeview Inn.
How's the reviews?
Well, I just found review. I didn't find reviews.
He found
the
same one I did. I know what you're going. Go ahead.
It was on TripAdvisor.
This is great because I got this note too.
And it basically just says it's full of long-term residents and known, well known in the area.
Oh no, hold on, let me read it, because I actually cut and pasted the note from it. Okay, this is what it says, Harper. The Lakeview Inn, Junction I-75 and whatever west, it says, this hotel allows people to live in their rooms long-term on a weekly or monthly basis. The hotel is known as a drug hotspot, and most of those who live in the hotel are drug dealers and or users. The buildings are run down and quite frankly scary. They are renovating some of the rooms in one of the buildings that may improve the quality, but not the clientele quality. So, I can only imagine how run down this inn is, because I've seen a few run down inns in my day in New Orleans East. I bet you it's on par with some of the inns in the eastern side of New Orleans.
To our highway.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. Well, you can pay by the minute.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how to do that.
And remember how poor everyone here in this area is. So it's not like they're dealing sticky, icky, icky cush weed out of this motherfucker. It's probably dirty drugs.
Oh, yeah, geez. It's probably a bunch of meth heads.
Right.
Y'all sound like y'all are pros on the Smoky Mountain drug use. Okay.
Well, they're not drug users or dealers. They're just down there trying to make America great again.
Yeah, they're just good old Southern, you know.
By the grace of God.
Yeah, a bunch of, you know, Appalachian folk art lovers.
Okay. South's gonna rise again, brother. On the backs of methamphetamine and misdirected anger.
Are you done?
I could go on all day. So okay, whenever you want to wrap this up, Harper and I aren't winded yet. We're just hitting our stride.
I see that. Speaking of hitting your stride, I want to make sure everyone knows about our Amazon referral link so that we can hit our stride. Go to tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. If you are buying anything from Amazon, it is a great way to support the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra. We'll get a little bit in return from Amazon when you use that referral link. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. I'd appreciate it. We'd appreciate it. It actually helps me, pay for the podcast hosting site that we use. So, again, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Go pick up Bobby Blaze's books while you're there. Pin Me, Pay Me is a great one that I just can't, talk about enough. Doc loved it. I've actually read some of it at this point, and it is a fantastic book. So, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon for Bobby's book or any of your Amazon needs. And God damn it, Amazon sells everything. So if you don't use that, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, we got one more promo here, and it is from the evil one, Kevin Sullivan. So, in the Night Stalker, I should say. So here it is.
All right, fans, with me right now here is the master, Kevin Sullivan, in the Night Stalker. And Stark, it was his match. You were in there as much as he was.
Commissioner Bob Armstrong, and you're very sadly mistaken if you think for 1 second that you can stop the master and you can stop the Night Stalker. Bring anybody you want. Mongolian Stomper, Brian Lee, come out of the hospital so I can break you in half. Because you cannot stop the master.
Let me tell you one thing, Kevin Sullivan. That's the last time you'll put a coat hanger around anybody's neck. Let me tell you, if the Stomper can't do it in prime time, Brian Lee, I'm going to find somebody to get you out of Smoky Mountain. I'm going to make it so hot. I'm going to make it so hot you can't stand the heat, Kevin Sullivan.
Well, Mr. Armstrong, Commissioner, I love the heat. And believe me, I'm legal. If you want to punch me, if you want to hit me, you're supposed to be responsible. You're supposed to be a responsible man. You know, maybe if you had gone and seen about Brian Lee, maybe if you told him what to do, Commissioner, it's a responsibility for a man of your stature to watch out for people's welfare. Well, and that goes for Brian Lee.
Let me tell you what to do, brother. Like I said, it's going to get so hot, brother. You're going to think your butt is sitting on the sun itself. It's going to get that hot for you before it's over with. And you are going to be out of here.
Well, it looks like the commissioner has lost his composure. Let me tell you one thing, Commissioner. We live and breathe in the hottest place known to man. Commissioner Armstrong, it will be a cold day in hell when you get rid of me and the Night Stalker.
All right, fans, and that's going to wrap it up for this week. Next week, 1992 in review and highlights of Christmas chaos. We'll see you then.
Oh, boy. Doc, you first.
Sullivan's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just a whack job. Is that all you got? Sullivan's insane?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty. He's off. He's off his rocker. Harper, what about you?
I love how he makes Bob Armstrong like stop being the guy that calls it down a line, and he's this fair guy, and he's just like, no, fuck you, bro.
Yeah. He drew him off sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Armstrong. Almost for a second, you thought Armstrong was about to pop him. Bob was getting worked up. Bullet Bob was getting worked up there. You know, my note was for Sullivan not supposed to be the devil because, you know, he sure does talk about how they never really said, like, he was the devil. But it just was, like, insinuated. He sure does talk about how he loves the heat. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
I love the hottest places you can imagine. Yeah. So, Sullivan's crazy. I thought it was good. You got a heads up from Bob Caudill at the end that the year in review is going to be next week. And I don't really have anything else other than Sullivan is a nutcase, and we're going to see what that leads into in the year to come. So we need to give out some disability checks now. Doc, you first. What you got?
7.3.
Wow. Okay. Harper, you?
I get it. 7.5.
Okay. I was at a 7.
Yeah.
I am screwed up watching ahead. I'm all
messed told
up.
I told you for months that was going to happen, and it absolutely happened.
Screwed up. There's so much out there. I mean, damn, man, you get to some of the stuff that happens in this promotion, and it's like, what in the hell? There is just some insane stuff that happens. It just messes you up that if you don't see something like ridiculously spectacular, you just feel like, well, I can't give it that high of a rating. It's just, that's just what happens. I don't know any other way to say it. So it is what it is. I need to yell at the patrons real quick. Thank them all. David Cameron, a new patron, Thog94, Jay Shiny, B. Evans, Drew Media, Big Rich Sports, T Steel, Spyboy Sports Cap, Steven CG, Mike Havercroft, Sparks Third Coast, M. Wilson, Voodoo Moon, Frog Zeppelin, K Stone, Lone Wolf, Code Man, William, Dan and Jason Danby, David Wayne G, Twit Dust, Matt, Armando, Cedric Boone, and Marty. Thank you all for being patrons. Hey, if you, you know, I'm just going to say this about being a patron. Doc, I know you a lot of times fuss about the patron episodes, but what was the Buddy Landell patron episode like that we did?
It was fun. It was good to listen to. I mean, Buddy had some interesting takes on the business and life in general, and
the
his
Rubicon.
Own unique. Yeah, in history.
He gave us a history lesson.
Yeah, we just sat around and listened to it and cracked up and missed Buddy, man.
Busting baby doll's guts out. If you want to know what that line comes from, you'll have to become a patron. But again, the way to become a patron is going to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. You can sign up for $2 a month or as much as you want. We'd appreciate anything that you can give. Again, we don't promise the patron episodes on a regular basis. However, we do like to do them, and we put them out from time to time. So there are a bunch of them out there right now. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. The main thing for the patron episode, patron too, is it gives you a chance to come on the show and cut a promo on Doc Turner. So there's that. With that said, special shout out to our Hall of Fame patrons at SVP. ADGHAM, at Martin Howell 71, at Tim Moreci, that's Tim, Moreci, Coldman 822, at Unconvinced Ray on Twitter. All of them are patron Hall of Famers, so check out the patron stuff on our patron page. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Become a patron. It really does help support the show. Doc, it's time for some government cheese. Man, I'm struggling with the government cheese here because there are, I don't know who to give it to. my heart says Ron Wright. Just give it to Ron.
Give it to that kid.
But there's so much. There's a lot of good here. What'd you say?
That kid's not alive anymore to eat it. I guess neither is Ron Wright, so.
Well, no, I mean, to eat the cheese, okay. I got to give it to Ron. There's a lot of good in this episode. I don't want to say there's anything, like, extra special, spectacular, but it's solid. But I just, Ron Wright and his gout, I think they get the government cheese. What do you got, Doc?
Similar issues and problems to Mild Mike. So I went in a different direction here. It's probably a little bit surprising. To me, it was a return to form from some of the shows early on in Smoky Mountain where Dutch just went crazy with a bunch of stuff. I'm giving the government cheese to Dutch because I thought he was really making the show better from the color commentary position and throwing out one-liners and helping the show move along. So Dutch.
Yeah, he did have a lot of Dutchisms here. I agree. I like the one about Horner. You know, he stole the belt and went to a pawn shop, hocked the belt, and spent the money on whiskey and loose women. Yeah, that's true.
He had a line about Sullivan.
Yeah.
So in an episode where everybody did something good except for Horner, I'll give it to Dutch. Don't leave Dutch.
Harper, yeah. Who's giving it for you?
I've Dirty White Boy for that promo he shot on Tim Horner wanting his belt back.
At the beginning.
Called him a fucking thief.
Yeah, that's true. Because he's not lying.
Nope.
Again, I think this is only the third time where we picked three different government cheese winners. I'm pretty sure that's the case. It doesn't happen often. Usually we're either the same or maybe two different. Usually it's the same, but this is the first time where we picked three different ones. So I got Ron. Doc has Dutch for his Dutchisms, which were very much on point. Harper got the Dirty White Boy, which it's hard to go against him. It definitely and can we all agree that Tim Horner gets the Tim Horner Award for lackluster performance?
Yes.
Yes.
There we go. All right, everybody, that almost wraps it up. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Don't forget to check out our Pro Wrestling Tee store either. If you just click the Shop Now button on our Facebook page after you've liked it, and that'll take you to our Pro Wrestling Tee store. If any of the links you missed in this episode, if there are any of them that you missed, just look in the show notes. I've got them all listed there. The Patreon link, Pro Wrestling Tees, Facebook, Twitter, all of that is in the show notes. Just click on it. It'll take you there. And again, consider becoming a patron. It really does help out. I don't have anything else. Doc, do you have anything?
This is the last episode of 1992.
Damn. We've made it through the first calendar year, technically. We got the year-end review next week, but first calendar year we've made it through.
Let's go get drunk.
Yeah.
Let's go get blitzed. Yeah, I agree. Hey, I did want to say, make sure you listen to the wrestling podcast About Nothing as well. I got to plug my buddies, Brian Malonis, Mike Crockett, for all the work they do there. Brian Malonis doing some work for Ring of Honor now, so check them out. Forgot about that a second ago. So just search WPAN wherever you get your podcast from. They do two shows a week on Monday and on Thursdays. Harper, do you have anything else before we get out of here and go to our next episode where we're going to do the year in review?
No.
All right, then. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode 48 from December the 26th of 1992. Check the show notes if you missed any of the links I mentioned. Other than that, Harper, hit the tagline and get us out of here for this week.
Bucket, bitch.